Welcome back to 5 a.m. Theology. Rose, you know, my mind goes down a rabbit trail quite often, and that's just how it works sometimes.
It does. I can usually follow you.
I'm hoping that you can today. So when I was doing my reading, when I got to Exodus 16 this week about the manna from heaven, there were several things that struck me. The Israelites in 16 verse 3 say, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, because there we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted." And then they accuse Moses of bringing him out into the desert to starve to death, the entire assembly, to starve the entire assembly to death. So, you know, I just am struck by how they wanted to go back and be slaves, where they were not only producing food for themselves and doing all the other stuff to serve the Egyptians, like they had to slave away and get their own food. And they're just not trusting God. Like what?
I agree.
It makes no sense.
They suffer from a disorder of short-term memory loss. And I kept thinking when I was reading this, how we can do the same thing. God rescued them from slavery. Like you said, Chris, they can romanticize about Egypt all they want. Oh, we sat around pots of meat and had all the food we wanted. They were slaves. They probably worked 16 hours a day, at least sun up to sundown. And then, and at this point, when they had left, they made it even harder. They had to go find straw and then make bricks. And they were beaten and stuff, but they're thinking, we wish we would have been here. So God not only rescues them from that, they've seen the plagues that he put on Egypt and not on them. They've experienced the whole Passover and what happened. They plundered the Egyptians because God just had them hand them over their treasure. They just went up to their neighbors and they said, here, take our silver, take our money. Take, you know, like he parted the Red Sea. They get to a place called Mara. The water's bitter. They can't drink it. They start whining. God tells Moses, throw wood in the water. The water becomes drinkable. So he gave them drinking water. Then he takes them to Elim, which was kind of almost an oasis. I mean, it had palm trees and springs. And so they were happy there.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, me too. And then they get to where they are here, the desert of Sin, which is kind of ironic because some say the wilderness of Sin, and wilderness in the Bible is never wilderness like we think of. It's not a forest. It's pretty much a desert, usually rocky. But it's just kind of ironic because it's a murky, muddy city in Egypt. But they get here and now they're whining again. How quickly they forget everything God has just done. And Chris, you know, you say they grumbled to Moses because that's what scripture says. But we know who they're ultimately grumbling to. And Moses tells them that. He's like, it's not me that you're grumbling to. You're grumbling against God.
Yeah, they knew that. I mean, they knew it. And like, well, they even say, we wish the Lord had killed us in Egypt. Which plague would you have liked to die from? Oh, yeah, it's crazy. It just seems crazy to us, you know. And the Lord is getting ready to feed them. He's getting ready to feed them quail and manna.
I will say God is a gazillion times more gracious and patient than I would ever be. I think the Israelites can be thankful that I wasn't God at this time.
I know they can for me because I have like zero compassion with this kind of whining. So anybody in my family would tell you that. So well, I'm like a no whining chick. So no, like I'd be done. So anyway, but I'm not God. Thankfully, I'm not. I think it's funny because they want to go back to eat as much as they can. And then when the Lord's getting ready to provide them this quail and this manna, Moses gives them these instructions about gathering the manna. And he said, everyone is to gather as much as they need. But then in the next breath, he tells them, take an omer for each person that you have in your tent. That's in 16:16. And they'll each have as much as they need. Like these measured amounts will fill each person. And that I think that's really interesting.
You know, I heard a sermon from Vodi Bakum on this, and it was really fascinating. he says the quail wasn't a miracle because there were already quail in the area. God just multiplied how many quail were there. But manna, on the other hand, was a legitimate miracle because it was something never seen before. And it was only there because of God's hand. And I think that's why when we talk about this miracle, it's usually the manna that we concentrate on. Well, and of course, the manna looks forward to something that I'm sure we're going to talk about. But I thought that was an interesting observation.
I think it is too. And, you know, and this is food they could not ever have possibly produced. Like, it's such a picture of our salvation.
They
could not have done it.
And you were saying, Chris, that they were given instructions how to gather it. Gather just enough for the day. Don't save it on Friday. Get twice as much for the Sabbath because you're not going to gather on the Sabbath. There won't be manna. And they get it wrong. Some of them get it wrong. They don't do it. They try to save it and it ends up full of maggots. They don't gather enough the day before the Sabbath. And then they're out on the Sabbath looking for some. Like, well, where is it? Like, the fact that
it's intermittent fasting.
Oh my gosh. But here again, forget, I mean, all that God brought them through. And then he gives them this miracle. He gives them quail till it's coming out of their noses. I think it says it some point. And
that grosses me out.
I think God's like, fine, you want meat? I'm going to give you meat. And then this manna that is truly a miracle. Like, you think they would follow the instructions. But I think, you know, it's easy to look at them and shake your head and think, oh my gosh, are you people idiots? But I think it shows just how rebellious our natural hearts are and just how we don't honor God and listen to God. In our natural state, I think it shows how we all are.
I totally agree. It's a great picture, and we get other pictures of this, that no matter what, unless God regenerates your heart, you are dead. You have to be to ignore this kind of thing. And I don't know.
One thing I noticed about the manna is that it says it's white and it tasted like honey. And immediately what comes to mind is the promised land, the land of milk and honey.
Mm.
And how this is kind of a foreshadowing of the promised land. Now, it's going to ultimately be even more foreshadowing of the ultimate promised land. But I just thought that was really cool that God made it white and it tasted like honey. And when he talks about the promised land, it's the land of milk and honey.
You know, this was a test for them. Like you were talking about how they weren't following it. You know, God says specifically, this is a test. And I was thinking, this is one of the other things I was thinking when I was reading this passage this time. I was thinking how, you know, Jesus, who is a true Israel, was tested in the wilderness by Satan. And Satan was tempting him, you know, turn these stones into bread. And what was Jesus's answer? Well, you know, it was man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Right.
And it's the word of God that he used against temptation. We're given the word of God to use against temptation. These Israelites wanted to go back to Egypt for their sustenance. I was thinking how blessed we are to have the very word of God breathe that for us, and then how much opportunity we have to read it and study it and learn it, and how life-sustaining it really is.
Yeah.
And they want to go back to Egypt and have all they want. And it really, I was thinking today for several different reasons, we want our sinful nature. We want endless buffets. We want 400 channels of stuff ready to stream and watch from Egypt, most of it, you know,
yeah.
I mean,
it's
not good.
Exactly.
And we want social platforms to entertain us with funny videos and whatever. And this is what really struck me. We want to watch things like The Chosen, a show that has always had some issues. And we've talked about it on our No Trash, Just Truth podcast, but now it's even admittedly had pagan influences from the Mormon religion. And we want to watch that. And Christians laud and applaud this show because they're getting scraps. They're getting tidbits and scraps of the word of God. And they say things like, I have a better understanding of the Bible. And I want to say, you're going back to Egypt. You're coming back to Egypt.
Exactly.
You know, it's like getting it from Egypt. And you want to fill your belly with that junk. Like, why?
You know, Chris, that's funny that you say that, because I was just saying to my husband, Ed, I said, you know, all the shortages, because sometimes you go in the supermarket, I know here anyway in Indiana, and the frozen vegetables might be empty. Or another time, we didn't have chicken for like 2 weeks. It's at different times, there's different shortages. I said, I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think that it was necessarily a good thing to have everything you wanted whenever you wanted it. I think what happens, I think you hit it on the head. I think we're happy wallowing in Egypt because we don't want to put the work in and make the sacrifices it takes to get to the promised land. Because it's a heck of a lot easier to sit on your couch and watch somebody else regurgitate, well, it's not really the Bible, but regurgitate their version of the Bible to you, then you go in and read it yourself and do what it says and make it the authority of your life. And I think that's the point of this. The Israelites were happy to stay wallowing in slavery in Egypt rather than do the work to make the trek, make sacrifices to get where God was going to bring them, which is always better than anywhere you've ever been or ever are.
Very good point. And it's a great analogy. You're right. Like we're so used to having everything we want at our fingertips, a phone call away, a text away. And it's just crazy. And I just could not get out of my head how much we're going back to Egypt. You know, we just want to wallow there and we're happy with that.
Because it's easier.
We're so happy with it.
It's easier to have someone else control and do it because we're lazy.
Yeah, we're sinful.
We're sinful.
But you're right.
What I took out of this was, for me, stop getting distracted looking back at Egypt.
Good point. Just like Lot's wife, looking back and thinking about the city that you came from when you really need to be looking forward.
Oh, that's probably a good place to end for today. Thanks for joining us this morning. Have a blessed morning.